Now it's time for your daily pep talk on News Radio Pensacola. Text in the show at 850-437-1620.
Good morning and welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm Jess. This is News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable. 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. You can find us in the app and you can join the conversation at 850-437-1620. And I have my friends here from NAS Whitingfield. And hi, Jamie. How are you?
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
It is.
Reason why it's good morning. It's always a good morning. You find a way for it to be a good morning. But rumor has it that we are getting some cool weather coming in this week. And not that the summer isn't great and the warm weather isn't great, but cool weather is coming from what I understand. So I'm a little excited. Zach, are you very excited about cool weather?
Yeah, I've been damp for the past 4 months, so it'll be really nice to not sweat as soon as I walk outside of my house in the morning. I'm really looking forward to that.
And September, end of August, but September and October here in Northwest Florida is absolutely amazing. So we just absolutely can't wait for that cool weather.
It's definitely the most beautiful time of the year here.
Yeah. And then, so one more thing on weather too, or well, one more thing on nature and astrology and all of that, but that we have a super moon coming tonight, so when you get a moment, that is going to be a very, very bright moon out, and it's going to be gorgeous. It's one of the first of four, so there's more coming. There's another one coming in September, I think, but anyway,
that's in contrast to the just okay moon that we normally have.
That's right. But it will be gorgeous and beautiful outside tonight. Oh goodness. So I'll start off with one announcement before we jump in and I introduce our GMO. But Chief season is starting today. So in the Navy world, that's something that starts. So we will be announcing here. Gosh, it's probably happening right now as we speak with our CMC, with CMC Eric McDermott, and he is leading the charge there. On the new chief petty officers that are coming to NAS Whitingfield. So they will begin chief season and they will go through that process. So we're super excited. We're hoping for that announcement of our future chief petty officers. Let's see how many we get this year.
Awesome. Yeah, I really need background music for that.
Rah, rah, yeah.
Chiefs. The chiefs are
cheers
coming.
And applause, absolutely.
So that's kind of like our exciting whining thing that's happening. But I know I say I'm excited, but I really truly am excited to introduce our guest today, and that is Mr. Ron McCurdy. We call him the NAS Whitingfield GMO, so he is our GMO, and we'll get into that, why he is the GMO and what the GMO is. But he has many, many different titles. So he's our GMO. He is a fellow Air Force brother, so we will... Awesome. Mm-hmm. We will talk about that.
It's always a pleasure.
Meh.
He wears civilian clothes now in the Navy or for the Navy, just like I do. But he is a fellow Air Force brother and did some time in the Air Force. So we're going to get into that. He also wears the title Papa. And we're going to get into that, too, as a grandfather and a father. And we are going to sing the praises today of the McCurdy family because they are just absolutely special people, you and your wife. Foster parents, adoptive parents. I mean, this goes on and on for all the things that you do here in the community and the special titles that you hold. So let's get into it. Ron, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. We really appreciate it. Okay, so where are you from?
Well, originally I was born and raised in Pensacola. In fact, my family heritage in Santa Rosa goes back to before Florida was even a state. I moved to Central Florida, where I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. And joined the Air Force, and moved to Alaska, where we stayed until 1999. We were there for 11 years. Then in January of 1999, after about 3 weeks straight of the high temperature in Alaska being only 55 below zero, the high temperature, and working out in the mountains in this extreme weather, I came home one day and asked my wife if she would want to move out of Alaska. And she hesitated for about 0.3 seconds and said, yes, we would love to move out of Alaska. So we sold our house in only 3 weeks, pretty much sold everything we own and drove down from Alaska with four children in tow. And then right before we left Alaska, the interesting thing was I applied for a job at this unknown Navy base called NAS Whiting Field in Milton, Florida. I had no idea where this place was. And Milton has been our home ever since. And I say I have no idea where Whiting Field was. I know where Milton was. I was born and raised here. I just never heard of Whiting Field.
Right. So. So can you give us just a little background on your career? So this is, we want you to tell your story a little bit, but just give us a little background on your career and how long you've worked at Whiting, because that's another one that's super interesting.
Sure. I've been out there for 25 years now. And for the sake of brevity, let's just say the Lord's hand was involved in every step of the way. I could have not planned it better myself if I tried. Even though I was born and raised here in this area, like many locals still today, I assume there was only one Naval Air Station in the Panhandle, and that was Naval Air Station Pensacola. But as we on Whiting Field know that NAS Pensacola is the cradle of naval aviation, but on NAS Whiting Field, we don't make babies. We make warriors.
So that's right. Whiting Field. That's right.
I had to plug that in. So nobody get hate mail to me, please. But anyway, I never heard of Whiting Field until I began working here. My professional journey began as air traffic control systems technician. So I took care of the all the air traffic control systems on the base in the Air Force. And then after leaving the Air Force, I ventured into various fields such as construction, concrete cutting, driving a school bus. That was interesting. operating large equipment, driving fuel trucks, forklifts, operator, ground maintenance, supply warehouses, and I even got into sales. And that was another thing in itself.
A little bit of everything, Ron.
A little bit of everything. but the advantage of applying for all these different jobs, so many different jobs, I was able to pick up a lot of different interview skills, which actually led me to write a book on it, a very small book on the subject. And don't look it up on Amazon because I think it's number 2 on the bottom.
So yeah, right now.
It's not going to be.
I didn't know you wrote a book.
Yeah. Most people don't because, like I said, it's number 2 on the bottom. I think 2 people bought it.
What is the title? I'm just curious. So I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah. I done forgot the title.
I know.
It says something about a parachute. You don't even have a parachute or something like that.
We'll have to look it up.
It was back
comments
in 2014
later.
Or something of that.
Yeah.
So,
that's just really interesting to go through that process, though.
And it's because my children kept saying, Dad, you need to write a book on this because, you know, I was trying to give them interview techniques and things like that. And I've been through so much. Trying to get so many different jobs and things of that nature, especially back in Alaska, it was not as easy as applying online today.
Right.
You had to actually go and talk to people and have some a little bit of skill in interviews.
Right.
But anyway, through all this, I had a desire to return to electronics and later apply for Lockheed Martin, a government contractor, where I worked on the Alaska Range operating and maintaining threat radar systems and training pilots to evade missiles and anti-aircraft threats. And that was rewarding because I would try to lock on to the aircraft coming out and try to really blow them out of the sky and teach them how to evade these things. All simulation, of course.
You know, super cool.
Yeah, so it is pretty good. So it was nice knowing the actions that we did there were training pilots to evade the enemy and one day could save their life. So that was very rewarding.
Wow.
But after about 4.5 years, ready to leave the frigid cold, we moved down to Milton, and I started working at NAS Whiting Field Grand Electronics. And that is GE. We go by GE, and it's not General Electric, like everybody likes to call us.
Yeah.
But it's ground electronics. I started out as the air traffic control technician back then. And then 5 years later, I was promoted to the what we call the deputy GMO.
Okay.
And then that's the ground electronics maintenance officer, for anybody that wants to know what GMO means.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's actually more than a job. It's keeping our freedoms in America. It's about training pilots to be, like I said, warriors in the sky, not babies in cradles.
Absolutely.
So there is no other base like this in the entire world that I know of. In fact, we're the only base that has a namesake of Kenneth Whiting, and he's the father of the aircraft carrier. And that's a whole nother story in itself.
Yeah.
On that there, Jamie.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
It's all around unique, Whiting Field. We love our community, and our community loves us. We are part of Santa Rosa County, and Santa Rosa County is part of NAS Whiting Field. So.
Absolutely. And since you mentioned Santa Rosa County and NAS Whiting Field and its namesake, you know, that's something else for our listeners that you do. One, another title, because you do have many titles. When Santa Rosa County Chamber of Commerce, when the Santa Rosa Leadership class comes out. So every year we host the Military Day for Santa Rosa Leadership. And it's just a great time to do that and teach our community leaders and our community about what we do. And they're getting to see that on the inside of the fence line.
Right.
So it's really cool.
That's
but
awesome.
Yeah, it's we do it once a year, Military Day. It's really great. Actually, we've got some stuff not to, but I'll do a kind of a hint, a sneak peek for Kristen Rhodes. We are in the process of planning a junior Santa Rosa leadership. So we're going to have high schoolers out for a military day, a version of military day. So again, just continuing to spread our message and to teach what we do on the inside of the fence line and that bigger mission. But so Ron will intro Santa Rosa leadership crew out at NAS Whiting Field right before we do morning colors. And it's just a wonderful time out standing outside that flag and listening to the morning colors. But before that, you kind of give them a little brief about
Correct.
Kenneth Whiting, because he's kind of a bad to the bone guy. He is
bad to the bone.
Yeah, he's got some
Kenneth
really
Whiting
great stories.
Is, something else if you never researched him.
Yes, please it's do. Amazing. It's actually yeah. There's a reason why an entire military installation is named after him. So anyway, but Ron does a great job of talking about that history and that tie to history. It's absolutely wild that we are 81 years old.
Mm-hmm. We look so good.
I don't feel like it.
We as NAS Whiting Field. Okay, so jumping right back into some of this GMO, you know, what do you do? What position you currently hold as that?
So for the past 20 years, I've been the deputy ground electronics maintenance officer. Like I said, I'll just use GMO from here on out, but. As you probably know, no good deed goes unpunished. So through
right.
the years, I've been asked to do different responsibilities on top of that, such as spectrum manager or frequency manager, taking care of frequencies on base. Become the recent bank liaison officer for communications between Pennair and Whiting Field. That's interesting. And then 8 years ago, I went to training and became a certified Navy mediator to conduct alternate dispute resolutions. Which has also been very rewarding to help conflict get resolved. I really enjoy that. That's it's nice to see when two parties that are opposing come together and able to get along and still complete the mission. So
absolutely, you know, Zach and I are professional communicators, but that it's the communication piece, right? Zach is absolutely communication.
Yes.
Other than, would you
just
say?
Agreeing. Yes, it is. No, that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. And I don't think I realized that you did that. But again, you know, I always talk that Whiting Field's like the spider web, and you connect in the spider web. And the more that you can connect those pieces to the main prongs of a spider web, it just makes a spider web stronger and stronger. And I think that's just one of those aspects of the strengthening of the spider web at Whiting. Yeah. Ron McCurdy.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is that between like military to military, or is that like
civilians? It's all civilians, okay. And it's for all the Navy and Marine Corps.
Okay.
So they'll fly me to D.C., I'll do stuff over Zoom or in person, things of that nature. Telephonic, which I don't care for the telephonic because you don't get to see people's faces. So it's always better in person, but depends on what the budget can handle.
Right.
Where they send me. So it's really good.
Cool. Very cool.
Enjoy it.
Okay, so back on the GMO.
Yes.
What does GMO do? What are the responsibilities?
Well, the division is, we call it Ground Electronics, and everybody knows it on base, like I said, by GE. And I like to think of the old General Electric had a slogan for many years, GE, we bring good things to life.
Yes.
So I look at our responsibility as just that. As you know, NS Whiting Field is unique. It's completed over 1 million flight operations. 18% of all U.S. Navy flight hours worldwide are Whiting Field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, it's amazing what we're able to accomplish here at Whiting Field. And Ground Electronics is a major part of that. The position I hold is crucial in assuring the continuity and efficiency of all the air traffic control systems on board our complex, particularly given the unique setup of Whiting Field. Now, while our military GMO, typically it's military personnel, rotates about every 2 to 3 years, my position provides that consistent leadership needed.
Right.
In our division, it's comprised of 12 civilian and 5 military ATC technicians and 1 supply tech. Unlike many other ATC maintenance facilities, which have usually more technicians and fewer systems, we manage a vast array of complex systems and infrastructure. So basically we oversee and certify 2 airfields, 2 control towers, which are 1 mile apart, 2 instrument landing systems, 3 tactical air navigations, 4 weather systems, precision approach radar, 12 outlying fields with their communication suite, and 8 runway duty officer carts full of communication equipment, and then 6 squadron systems. And it's our responsibility to ensure that all these systems are certified, maintained in strict accordance with FAA and Navy standards. That's a lot of stuff, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Intense words, I guess. Strict standards. But just the training alone is pretty intense that our techs have to go through. Now, and I want to say this, fortunately for me, the technicians I manage and supervise make my job extremely easy, I'm telling you. Their professionalism, dedication, and patriotism make my role remarkably rewarding. Their expertise, commitment, ensure that we meet the mission objectives to provide top-notch training to our student pilots, no matter what the challenges are. The mission of Whiting Field would not be a success today without the boots on the ground, air traffic control technicians, and my supply tech. I'm telling you what, I believe that with my whole heart are the reason that we are the number one base in the entire Navy that we got the award. They contributed that a lot. So we're just awarded that honorable best base in the entire Navy. And like I said, they are the reason that we are. So I never have been a micromanager. So I've always looked at it as if you got employees that, that are looking out for the same income, or same outcome, not income. They want the same income.
Right.
You want the same outcome. in our case, it's training quality pilots to keep America free. You don't have to do much micromanaging on anything. Let them do what they want to do or what they can do and what they're capable of doing, and they will do it. So through the past 20 years, I've never had to micromanage anybody. So I just let them do their own full potential. In everything that they do. So they are the backbone of Ground Electronics.
Thanks for sharing that. So I think something else that I wanted to kind of highlight to all the listeners out there is all the things that go into running a naval base, but running aviation and what it's like to manage all the things that happen. You know, they say exciting Whiting, but there is a lot of aircraft in the sky, and that takes a large support system to do that. And that's why I love bringing all the different positions and responsibilities and teaching people about that, because it is just amazing to me, all the cogs, right, all the wheels, all the things that turn and to keep our aircraft in the sky and to get them in the sky every single day. And GMO and Deputy GMO are such a big, important part to that. So that's, I thought it was important for us to kind of talk about that today. And so, I mean, yeah, and then you see kind of like where it fits in the big picture of all that aircraft and our national defense as well, because we're part of something really big here. We all are. Absolutely. We all are. And our community does an amazing job supporting us to do those big things. And oh my gosh, I'm just so proud of what we all do and proud of what you do.
She's not smiling. Yeah, no. Not at all.
So has this always been a goal for you?
Not really. After, like I said, after the Air Force, my intention was to go into another career, but then I came right back into doing the same thing the military taught me years ago, so it's pretty cool.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about something else, and I want everybody to get to know Ron out there. Can we talk a little bit about family? How many years have you guys been married? How many children?
So I've been blessed to share 36 wonderful years of marriage with the greatest wife in the world, and I think y'all out there in Radio Land might think you have the greatest wife.
Shout out to Denise.
I got the greatest wife in the world. So my wife Denise and I we've had an incredible life together. She's been on this journey with me the entire way. If I look back at a definition in the dictionary of incredible woman, that would be her picture there. You know, so we're high school sweethearts. We really met in karate class, believe it or not. So, it was love at first kick.
Yeah. Love at first kick.
So, any of you Goju Ryu fans out there, we're in Goju Ryu. So,
now, how many kiddos do you have?
We have 15 children.
Okay.
They are 10 adopt, or I'm sorry, no, 10 bio, 5 adopted.
Okay.
And we have actually 2 more foster children in our home right now. Okay. So about 7-8 years ago, we looked into foster care, and originally they told us no, but then later it came out to be where we could do foster care.
Okay.
And so we got into that, and no intention of adopting, but we did through the years. We've had about 40 children come through our home, and we have adopted 5 of those. And what a blessing it is. We're starting our life over because the adopted ones are from 7 to 3 years old. So I'm not 29 anymore. So it's kind of hard to keep up with their bouncy attitudes and jumping around and everything else like that. And I throw a hip out every time I play horsey. But besides that, it's fun. And then we have our adult children. 5 of them are married. They have given us 17 grandchildren. So I am Papa, and my wife is Nana to our 17 wonderful grandchildren. So we have a great time. Family get-togethers. We got about 40-something people there.
I mean, you can play games. You can play soccer, baseball, football, volleyball, whatever you want.
In our house, we got about 3 acres.
Do a tournament.
Papa's house, I have tried to create this playground for them. I got a zip line on there. I got swings on there. We got the pool for them. We're trying to create this environment to where they want to come to Papa's and as in Papa's house.
It's never too late to adopt me.
Yeah. I think it's too late for me. You know what I mean? So,
Ron, you and Denise have done some amazing things, and I thank you so much for sharing just a little bit of that story and that foster story in our local area. Just one more need, and just one more title that is absolutely special. Thank you for everything that you do. Can you talk a little bit about what is the foster program? Name it?
If you search up Northwest Florida Health Network, you can get some more information about foster care. And let's see if you got time, I can try to give you a phone number, but I might not be able to pull it up.
That's okay. We just wanted to tell the listeners.
But I mean, they can look up Northwest Florida Health Network, and that is the CBC, which is the community-based care that will take care of your licensing and things of that nature and get you started in foster care. But we need more foster parents. We need good quality foster parents out there that are willing to bring these children and love them in your home, and because they are the most needy. I mean, it's
love and care.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
what they need. Thank you so much.
Right. Thank you so much.
Jess.
Thank you.
Thanks
again
for having us.
It's National Aviation Day. Let me just point that out. So it was fabulous to have you all in there.
All right,
and I just
perfect.
Looked up NWF Health Network, and it switched on me really quick, and they had the phone number. Well, goodness gracious. I guess everybody will have to go to nwfhealth.org and learn how to be a fabulous foster parent like you. Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.